serve currently in the Israeli military. We know that there were three coup attempts which were foiled by Israeli intelligence against Emperor Haile Selassie back in the day. You also have the case of Israel being able to establish in Ethiopia an Ethiopian company by the name of Encoda, which was exporting meat around the region, but actually was an Israeli intelligence operation. Right. Of course, the arrangements have come with Israel training the Ethiopian special forces, the military, the police, the security around the political leaders. So really there is a very, very close and integrated relationship between Ethiopia and Israel.
Right. Yeah, David, in the first segment, you started to touch on resource extraction. And I just wondered if you might say a little bit more, really, about the Zionist entity and the UAE's involvement in the Horn of Africa. It's predominantly about resource extraction. I mean, just say a bit more.
It's about all of these things, isn't it? It's about power projection, both back into West Asia and Yemen, into the Horn of Africa and indeed beyond that. But also, as Loki was saying, the existence of gems and especially lithium, which of course is important for the tech industry and in particular for the semiconductor industry, which of course Taiwan is one of the world leaders in. This indicates the kind of close circle of all this. Yes, of course, it's about military projection, but it's also about the resources which they can use to enhance power projection around the world, which of course includes the semiconductors and the cybersecurity industry and all of that. So it's both of those
it's
things.
It's a bit about the sort of resource extraction and the sort of military.
It's a kind of the traditional imperialist or colonial relationship. There are military questions and there are economic questions.
It's following the pattern. Yeah, sure. Well, Loki, I mean, this military base then that the Zionists are building in the UAE occupied Yemen. I mean, that's a worrying development, isn't it?
Well, I mean, of course, the situation is such that everybody that has stood up for Palestine in a meaningful way, and Israel Katz said this, the Israeli war minister, they will pay a price. And their argument is that, at the very least, any of those forces should be currently fighting for survival rather than being able to flourish. Not only endure the war, but move past it and move on. So, without a doubt, Yemen is likely to be the target of a savage campaign soon. However, the Trump vision, and this is very clear in the International Stabilization Force that he's trying to introduce in Gaza, is actually to get the Muslim-majority nations to carry out Israel's objectives. So, when they're trying to send in a force into Gaza to disarm the Palestinian resistance, they're trying to send in the Indonesian military, the Malaysian military, and I think there's a question here of whether Israel trusts Turkey enough to be part of that international stabilization force. Yeah. And so, you look at the military plane crash in the last few days of a Turkish plane in which 20 people were killed, a plane dissolving in midair almost, taking off from Azerbaijan, then serious questions have to be asked about whether that was a warning sent to the Turkish government.
I think it's also important to stress, isn't it, that it's the deals being done with the political elites in those countries, not the people, is it?
That's a fact, absolutely.
I mean, I think it's important that we do stress that. But to David, I mean, are the UAE and the Zionists then, I mean, cooperating in their operations in the Horn of Africa?
Self-evidently they are. I mean, in Socotra, which the UAE illegally occupied in 2018, the Israelis appear to be building a base there. It's not very clear whether the base will be for IOF operations or for UAE operations. And indeed, as Loki was saying, in the port in Somaliland, which the Somaliland administration offered to Ethiopia, they signed a contract with it. This is run by people from the UAE, and there's also the question of whether the Zionists already have some kind of presence there and whether they're able to build their own base there. It's perfectly plain that there is very, very close collaboration. The UAE is a vassal state of the Zionists. It's been devoted to pursuing Zionist interests in West Asia and indeed in the UK and the US for many years now. So you would expect that.
And final word, we've only got about 30 seconds left at Loki, but what do you think we should make of this very extensive Zionist involvement in the Horn of Africa, if you can sum that up in 20 seconds?
Well, what I would say is that AFRICOM moving across the continent of Africa every single day, and it's very likely that Israel is plugged into that, you know, Project 2025, Ted Cruz push against, you know, places like Djibouti to try and push back against China in Africa. That will definitely come with direct Israeli involvement also.
Right, okay. Well, we could clearly have done with a bit more time today, but I'm afraid that's all we have got time for. So I'd like to thank our guest, Lo Ki, and make a date to join us again on Palestine Declassified next week, when I'll be back alongside David Miller here with more revelations and information that you won't find in the corporate media. But until then, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper-thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the Hall of Shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history. Should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. America gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice, our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. The thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're tuned into Iran Radio. Let's quickly navigate what's coming up next. We're excited to present these programs, so please stay with us. time to delve into economic divide. If you are interested in economic or business issues, then this program is definitely for you. Top experts on the economy give expert analysis and commentary on the biggest business and economic stories of the day. Mind-provoking insights into the economic issues. Then it's time to listen to Spring of Truth. This program features English translations of selected powerful statements and speeches from the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul. What's next up? We are featuring a collection of our finest radio productions. These are specially curated segments designed to entertain, educate, and inform you, dear listeners. So keep us company. Up next is Economic Divide.
A war economy cannot be sustained forever unless a fake nation is built on it. Such is the case with Israel, who's continuing on a war footing, no matter the costs, even if it means record migration out of the occupied territories. Israel's reverse migration began years ago when the judicial reforms started in the occupied territories. It doesn't just affect the Israeli economy, it also affects Israeli security. But with no end in sight when it comes to Israel's wars, the economy is suffering immensely. Hi, I'm Kharash Pournemati. This is The Economic Divide. Coming up in today's programs, these are just some of the headlines. Israeli reverse migration. Record year when it comes to Israelis leaving the occupied land, many not planning on returning, taking refuge in Europe and the US. Skilled workers departing. Majority of Israelis departing are young, educated, skilled workers who filled key sectors like the high-tech sector. Now Israel will scramble to fill those jobs. Reverse migration is not only an economic threat, but also poses a security risk for the regime. Except for tax breaks, there is still no game plan to attract Israelis back to the occupied land. We're going to be discussing those points and a whole lot more with Dr. Maria Nicola Kaki, political analyst and author, and also Frank Wright, a writer, journalist, and geopolitical analyst.
Thank you for having me in your show. It is without any doubt that reverse immigration is a sign that the youth in Israel have lost hope of their country. The point here is that these are the core of the youth are the core of a society that brings more of a future. It reproduces, so it is the backbone of the family, and it also contributes to the future. Now in Israel, in Gaza, with Trump's quote-unquote peace plan, which is supposedly to stop the war is nothing but a facade that will not be able to either convince the youth or anyone that has a brain. If you see Trump's peace plan, how he wants to make Gaza into a Riviera, it's just Netanyahu's plan that was presented in May 2024, which was supposed to make Gaza into a smart city by 2035. So this unpacks Netanyahu's plan imposed by USA, because Israel had failed to actually win over Hamas, and so USA came in to save Israel from its dead end.
Aside from the problem of reverse migration, the Israeli economy is facing lots of problems. Aside from reverse migration, Israel has faced economic pressures like the high cost of living, difficulty in obtaining housing, and challenges in finding good employment. But some of the problems that Israelis are facing are not economic in nature. Political instability, social tensions, and a loss of confidence in leadership are repeatedly cited as reasons for emigration as well.
Israel's messianic plans of the greater Israel is an attack to all the Arab nations in the area. If you see how they demand the disarmament of Hezbollah, how they the U.S. wants to create a base in Syria from which they can more easily attack Iran, then if you see how they want to use Turkey as an Azerbaijan, as powers to fight Iran, then you see that this plan has many tentacles that we must be aware of.
Welcome back. This is the social section of the program. The first item that we've picked for you is reverse migration is the real nightmare that buries Israel's expansionist ambitions. How does a country expand when its population is fleeing it? How do you build a future on a land without a people? Regional Political, The Hebrew Daily. The Marker reported a 50% surge in reverse migration from the Israeli occupation state, with 56,000 immigrants by September 2025. Analysts link the exodus to the genocide in Gaza and the far-right judicial overhaul tearing Israeli society apart. Lots of predictions. Israel will be gone by 2027. More than a million Israelis have left because they feel the end is in sight. You can't sustain 75 years of permanent war and expect American taxpayers to pay the bill. The Thai people are angry, and the reason is simple. Groups of new arrivals from Israel have begun working and opening businesses without permits while ignoring the country's culture and norms. From Palestine to Thailand, you can't repeat the same behavior in different nations and expect people to stay silent. Respect for people and their culture is a red line.
Hello again, and thank you for having me on the show.
Hello.
exodus of largely younger, more educated Israelis from Israel over the last 2 years is obviously a worrying trend for its economic outlook, reliant as Israel is on technology and highly skilled, mainly younger workers. This factor, combined with the ongoing instability of the state due to judicial reforms, comes alongside increasing domestic censorship, the Israeli Army Radio being the latest to be shuttered, for example, and capital flight from Israel. Following the Economist's warning of capital flight from Israeli banks in September 2024, a 62% increase in capital flight was reported by Israeli business daily Calculist in October 24, a trend continuing into 2025. This indicates a general loss of confidence in the Israeli economy, both among foreign investors as well as among Israelis themselves, with 2024 seeing 83,000 Israelis leave, which is the highest number of any year in its history.
Many don't realize that the Israeli regime pays a hefty sum amount of money to the reservists. Reservists receive an average of nearly $8,000 per month. This system is described as transforming military service from a civic duty into an important economic opportunity for many families. Imagine what would happen to the Israeli economy if this money was not paid to the reservists.
Question that's best illustrated in comparison between what we see in the media in the West and in the wider world and what we see in the Israeli press itself. I've been reading the Israeli press quite studiously for around 2 years. So if you read the Israeli press regularly, there's one theme that's seldom seen in media abroad, that the current Netanyahu government relies on the continuation of war in order to survive. Many Israeli commentators, including former leaders of the army, the security services, and indeed of the Israeli state itself, have warned for several years now that Israel is faced with a choice between the survival of the Netanyahu regime or that of the nation. Recognizing this fact and that Netanyahu faces prison on charges of political and financial corruption very likely explains President Trump's move to try to secure immunity from prosecution so that Netanyahu can leave.
This is the InfoNews section of the program. The first item that we've picked for you is U.S. and China AI spending. U.S. tech giants are expected to spend $700 billion on AI infrastructure by 2027. Yet Chinese models like Kimi, Tongyi, Quanwen, and Kuen are already neck and neck with top U.S. models on its standard benchmarks. Our special investigation revealed that the U.S. model is like this. They borrow heavily, they build big, and they scale fast. While on the other hand, China's model focuses on efficiency, optimizes infrastructure, meaning a lean machine. This isn't a spending race, it's a strategy duel. And the smarter player may not be the one who spends the most. The next item is Chinese cash. In the UK, London has become the largest hub for trading renminbi, China's currency, outside the country. Western lenders have used the city as a launchpad to access China's rapidly expanding debt market. Critics fear it has handed Beijing significant leverage over Britain. The next item is world oil. Trump's oil raid, seizing Russian assets and enslaving Europe. The U.S. sanctions against Lukoil are a calculated financial siege. The deadline is November the 21st. The U.S. strategy is clear based on our special investigation, which is create conditions where Lukoil cannot operate, forcing a distress sale. No one will sell them crude. No one will buy their products. Bank will cut off credit, and the result will be a potential acquisition at a fraction of the market value. We're witnessing a state-sanctioned corporate raiding. The next item is U.S. void of talented people. Donald Trump says the United States doesn't have people with certain talents to fill jobs domestically. Trump has said, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have certain talents, and people have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where you're going to make missiles. The next item is Mamdani's win. Mamdani win rattles Israeli business community in New York City. After flocking to city, Israeli-founded firms brace for a mayor who backs BDS and could freeze them out of government contracts or cut vital ties that have fostered innovation. Welcome back. This is the in-depth section of the program. The number of Israelis leaving the occupied lands has become unprecedented at this level, and the number of returnees is very minimal. This is also an economic problem for the Israeli regime, and at the same time, it's a security risk. The numbers are grim, and they point to a harsh reality for the Israeli regime. Here they are. In 2023, 82,700 left the occupied territories, compared with 55,300 in 2022 and 37,000 in 2021. Percentage-wise, for 2022, it's a 46% increase over the previous year, and for the year 2023, a nearly 50% rise between 2020 and 2024. Roughly 145,000 Israelis left the occupied territories, marking what experts call the largest migration wave in Israel's modern history. Researchers warn that this exodus is draining Israel's skilled labor force and key sectors of its economy, posing long-term risks to growth and productivity. The study found that 54% of those emigrating come from Tel Aviv and central Palestine areas with high living and housing costs that have become increasingly unbearable for young professional people despite their economic importance. Now, let's bring in our guest, Dr. Maria Nicola Kaki, political analyst and author. Maria, my question, the occupied West Bank is exploding with violence. As the economy there is worsening, the tech sector is barely surviving, like other industries, of course. My question, won't that contribute to more people leaving?
Now, there seems to be a dispute on West Bank coming from Israel and the other Arab nations. So only Israel wants to take over, fully occupy West Bank. But I think it is also a matter of time to full explode in the near future. I do not think that Arabs will peacefully accept the annexation of West Bank, but despite what Trump says, they have already agreed on Israel's greater expansion Yinon plan. And so if there is no reaction, I can't think how it will stop, despite the fact that it will have reactions and responses from Israeli society itself, which will be further fragmented than it is right now.
Now, in order to make people return to the occupied lands, the Israeli regime has become desperate. Finance Minister Smotrich has announced 0% income tax for new immigrants. The tax benefit will be graduated with a zero tax rate in 2026 and 2027 under income in Israel, with the tax rate gradually increasing to 30% until 2030. The budget deficit in 2024 reached 6.9% of the GDP due to higher defense and civilian spending as a result of the war with the Hamas resistance group in Gaza that erupted in October 2023 and subsequent conflicts in Lebanon and Iran. It has since eased to 4.7% in September. A rock-bottom listing. Israel ranks last on Nation Brand Index, perceived as chaotic. The Nation Brand Index ranked Israel last among 50 countries, citing perceptions of chaos and instability. Despite strong objective metrics, Global Views associate Israel with conflict and risk, highlighting a growing discontent with younger generations and economic challenges abroad. After the Gaza war began on October the 7th, 2023, the Israeli stock market and currency nosedived. It is estimated that Israel would lose around $400 billion in the next decade and experience a significant economic shock. Now let's bring back our guest, Frank Wright, writer, journalist, and geopolitical analyst. Frank, my question, the current and future footing indicates that Israel wants to continue its wars, like in the case of Lebanon, and then there was Iran. If this trend continues, what is the breaking point, or has Israel already reached that breaking point, not to mention violence in the occupied West Bank?
Well, yes, it will contribute to more people leaving. And one significant factor is that Western audiences are just beginning to realize that Israel is also war fighting in the West Bank, which, as government ministers state, is to be annexed completely. Earlier this year, the Catholic Church, along with other Christian churches in the Holy Land, protested that the last remaining Christian town in the West Bank was being violently terrorized by armed arsonist settlers backed by the Israeli army. The Holy Family Church was bombed again in Gaza several days later, which was seen as a retaliation for drawing the world's attention to the fact that Israel's violence is not only directed at Muslims, but at Christians too. This too in the birthplace of Christianity. The assault on the West Bank will only further mobilize world opinion against Israel. President Trump has said the West Bank will not be annexed. And J.D. Vance, the vice president, has said that Knesset's motion to do so was foolish. Capital flight will likely increase too, following the divesting from Israel of the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund and Danish and British divestment, which came in its wake. These conditions combine to a likely driver of further net emigration from Israel, again, likely comprising its youngest, brightest and best, leaving a country in which they see little future for themselves.
A remarkable wave of departure from Israel is not the Israelis' economy-only problem. There are so many. Until recently, Israel and the West sought to displace Gaza's residents. It's pretty ironic that now Israelis themselves are fleeing the occupied territories. How Israel can recuperate in its key sectors is anyone's guess. I'm Keresh Poonamati, and I'll see you next week.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware. The hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome back to the Spring of Truth. This is Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, your host. And today we are going to speak a quote from Imam Khomeini.
Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum.
I've chosen a beautiful quote from the Imam where he says, "You are to help as much as you can. Each of you, wherever you may be, should help as much as you can." So over here, what the Imam is pointing out is towards the holy ayah of the Holy Quran, that is Fastabiqul Khairat, where it is stated, you have to do as much as good you can. Fastabiqul Khairat, meaning go ahead, be quick in whatever good you want to do. So over here, if we look at the statement of the Imam, you are to help as much as you can, is just one of the commentary on the holy verse. Each of you, wherever you may be, should help as much as possible. So over here, if we look at the today's world condition and the country which we are staying in, if we see a litter lying on the ground, it says, pick up the litter. Do not litter by yourself in the least. Example, if you see a person in need and you can help him financially, then go ahead, help him financially. Oh no, you don't have so much of amount with yourself right now. And what you can do is share your knowledge. In this manner, you can share your knowledge and can help that very person. You can just give him a lending hand. You can solve his problem. It's not necessary when the Imam says that you have to go ahead and do help in the financial way. No, it's not the case. It's actually, if you can help a person in any manner possible, that is the most beautiful gift which you can give to the person. Another thing which comes to our mind is about the help of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi muslim towards the society. So when the Imam is saying, wherever you may be, it's not necessary that you are in a specific country to help and reach out the people. Example, when the Prophet came into this world, he came into the most ignorant world. The people used to worship idols, but still he was called Al-Amin, meaning the trustworthy one. What do you get in your mind when you think of a trustworthy person from his childhood? The very thing which is going to strike our mind is that even if he would be a trustworthy man for an idolater, meaning a person who worships idol, and if someone keeps a trustee near him, then the Prophet would return back the thing to him. So, wherever you may be, help as much as you can. With this, I'm very sure you are going to attract people towards the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
Never forget to say, La ilaha
You'll be outcast. Sometimes it's better to be alone than to be with the bad crowd. Preserve your mind and feed it. Nourish what it is you have inside. Use it in the right way.
Palestinians are terrorists because they use human shields, right? Well, that's what the Zionists love to say when they justify bombing hospitals and schools. They routinely claim that Hamas houses command and control centers underneath hospitals, apartment buildings, and schools. Of course, all of that has been debunked and is a total lie. But what if I told you that the Israelis were projecting? Because we all know that their every accusation is a confession. Well, a groundbreaking report by the Gray Zone has just exposed a highly secretive IDF command and control center beneath a densely populated civilian area in North Tel Aviv. Aviv. And the best part, Iran directly bombed it during the 12-day war with Israel back in June. On June 13th, Iran launched a barrage of missiles at Israel. The Zionists immediately began crying about how Iran was bombing civilians, not caring about the fact that they had been slaughtering civilians themselves in hospitals and schools in Gaza for 2 years. But as it turns out, Iran wasn't firing inaccurate missiles indiscriminately at Israeli civilians. They were actually targeting high-value military targets. In this clip here, you can see the Fox journalist Trey Yanks reporting the aftermath of the targeted site. He was immediately told to stop filming by Israeli police.
The Iranians have responded with three waves of ballistic missiles. This is Israel's version of the Pentagon, the Kiryat. And the building on this compound was just hit.
Please go back. Go back, please.
You can understand here, it's very tense at this location. Because the Iranians are now targeting the defense establishment of Israel. And so I'm going to have my cameraman pan up here to this building just across the street from the
Kiryat.
And so...
Moments prior, Iran had struck the north tower of the Da Vinci apartment complex roughly 550 meters southwest of Yink's location. The gray zone determined that the building sits immediately south of the Kanaret Israeli Air Force towers and above an underground military intelligence bunker jointly administered by the U.S. and Israeli militaries. According to an analysis of leaked emails, public documents, and Israeli news reports, the location is host to a highly secretive, electromagnetically shielded intelligence facility known as Site 81. Leaked emails from a former Israeli military chief of staff further indicate that Site 81 is an important command and control node. The Jerusalem Post also reported that an Iranian missile that struck the Da Vinci Towers was just a stone's throw from Netanyahu's office, which was then known as Building 22. The Prime Minister's office began undergoing renovations just weeks after the 2025 12-day war between Israel and Iran, and is rumored to have been damaged in the strike. Now, unfortunately, you can't use Google Maps to view the area because they have censored and blurred the information in order to protect secrecy. A photo of Site 81 published by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in February 2013 as part of a corrosion test of the underground structure's concrete overlay in galvanized steel plating can be geolocated to what is now the site of the Da Vinci apartment towers, with the southern of the two 18-story Israeli Air Force Kinneret towers just meters away. According to a website for the Kinneret towers, published by the Israeli construction firm Dan Yakibis, the buildings were constructed for the Israeli Air Force headquarters. The Israeli aluminum building enclosure company Alumeshet described its work on the towers in 2002 as including the construction of a blast mitigation system ensuring maximum security. But despite the sophisticated engineering, secrecy, and protection, Iran was still able to strike it and damage it. One Israeli resident of the tower complained that he was being used as a human shield. Quote, "Today I realize I've been paying 12,000 shekels or $3,650 a month to protect the Kiryat," the resident explained, using the common shorthand for the Israeli military headquarters. Geolocation of the Site 81 photo suggests that the Da Vinci Towers are also protecting the secretive underground intelligence facility. The bunker is apparently located less than 100 meters from a children's playground, alongside a large community center which opened at the base of the towers in July 2023. By situating some of its most sensitive military installations in the heart of a civilian area, Israel has engaged in the human shielding practice it routinely accuses Palestinians of exploiting. A previously unreported leaked email exchange between ex-NATO commander James Stavridis and former Israeli military chief of staff, Gabi Ashkenazi, appears to confirm the presence of a command and control network operating inside the Site 81 bunker, smack in the middle of a densely populated civilian area. "Hi, Gabi," Stavridis wrote to Ashkenazi on September 1st, 2015. "I am working with an exciting company called Think Logical here in the USA. They build command and control networks and just won a big contract out at Site 81 with the IDF." Not only does this further expose Israel as the hypocritical genocidal state that it is, it also validates Iran's claims of having significantly damaged Israeli military infrastructure. Throughout the 12-day war, Israel bombed Iranian civilians, murdering hundreds of innocent people, including babies, while complaining about Iran supposedly indiscriminately bombing their civilians. Zionist propagandists also boasted about taking out Iran's more sophisticated missiles in their surprise attack, forcing them to rely on older, less accurate missiles incapable of precisely hitting their targets.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Greetings once again, dear listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran, the vibrant capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Here's what's waiting for you next on your radio station. We'll bringing you the very latest updates. It's time for our news segment this hour. Stay informed with the top headlines and breaking stories from around the world. After this, prepare for profound insights with Minbar. In this program, we present selected excerpts from the speeches of the renowned Islamic scholars, covering a wide range of topics including ethics, theology, Quranic interpretation, Islamic history, and at times, social and political issues. Minbar brings the voices of the pulpit to life, timeless words that inspire thought, faith, and action. Following this program, we have another segment of radio productions for this hour. We sincerely hope you enjoy it. Finally, we present leaders' speech. Listen to English translations of the selected segments and speeches by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on various occasions. A concluding moment of guidance and reflection. Up next is news this hour. Stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli military launches air and artillery strikes on various locations across the Gaza Strip as the regime continues its daily violations of the ceasefire. Iran strongly condemns Israel's assassination of a senior Hezbollah commander in Beirut, slamming the inaction of the UN on the regime's acts of terrorism. And several Pakistani security forces are killed as gunmen attack the headquarters of a paramilitary force in the city of Peshawar.